Title: Subside Chain Timing by Ear Beginner. Alright, welcome in. Today we're doing one of those drum and bass skills that instantly makes your track feel more expensive, side chaining the sub to the kick, but specifically, timing it by ear. Because here's the deal. Indeed, NB, the kick and sub are basically roommates in a tiny apartment. If they speak at the same time, everything gets crowded fast. Side chain ducking creates space. Sure, but the timing of that duck is what decides whether your low end feels tight and rolling or pumpy, weak, and kind of amateur. By the end of this lesson, you'll have a simple, reusable setup in Ableton using stock tools, and you'll know how to find the sweet spot without copying random millisecond values from the internet. Let's jump in. First, quick session prep so your ears don't lie to you. Set your tempo to 174 BPM. That's the classic DNB pocket, and it matters because sidechain timing that feels perfect at 128 can feel totally wrong at 174. Drop in a basic drum loop or program a simple pattern. Kick on the 1, snare on 2 and 4. If you want, add an optional little ghost kick later, but for now keep it simple. And a really important learning move, keep your master clean. Don't put a heavy limiter on the master while you're learning timing, because it can hide problems and exaggerate pumping in weird ways. One more monitoring tip that sounds almost too simple, turn your listen-in level down a bit. If it's loud, you'll feel the pumping in your body and you'll overreact. At slightly lower volume, you can judge the groove more accurately. Now, step 1. Build a simple DNB sub that's clean and consistent. Create a MIDI track and load operator. In operator, use algorithm A only. Oscillator is a sine wave. Keep the volume envelope simple, sustain all the way up, and set a short release somewhere around 50 to 120 milliseconds. We're doing this not because sine is the only sub, but because it's the easiest to hear sidechain timing on. If you can get timing right on a sine, you can get it right on anything. Write a rolling bass pattern. Think classic DNB. Eighth notes with occasional gaps. Keep notes in a sub-friendly area, like F, G, or A in a low octave. The exact note isn't the point. Consistency is. We want a stable sub so the sidechain movement is obvious. Goal here. A sub that's steady and makes timing decisions easy. Step 2. Choose the sidechain tool. As a beginner, we're going with the Ableton compressor. It's fast. It's clear, it's controllable. On the sub track, drop a compressor. Turn on sidechain, and set the input to your kick track. If you want, you can use the little listen button briefly to hear what's feeding the detector, but don't leave it on. Now, before we start tweaking a million things, I want you to use a one-knob learning method. We're going to lock in a sensible attack and ratio, and then mostly touch-only threshold and release. Because beginners get into trouble when they change 5 parameters at once. Then they don't know what fixed the problem. So here is your starting point. Ratio, 4 to 1. Attack, somewhere between 0.3 and 3 milliseconds. If you're not sure, pick about 1 millisecond. Release, start around 100 milliseconds. Then threshold, lower it until you're seeing around 3 to 6 dB of gain reduction when the kick hits. That's the baseline. Now, a super important teacher note, a slash B at the same loudness. If you bypass the compressor and the no sidechain version is louder, you'll think it sounds better, even if it's actually worse. So use the compressor output gain, or put a utility after it, and level match the bypassed and active loudness as close as you can. You're judging timing and clarity, not volume preference. Cool. Now we do the main skill, tuning sidechain timing my ear with a 3-listen method. We're going to focus mostly on release, sometimes attack, and we're going to listen for feel. Listen mode 1. The kick clarity test. Loop one bar with kick and sub playing together. While it loops, bypass the compressor on and off. Ask yourself one question. Does the kick become clearer, but the bass line still feels present? If the kick still feels buried, you have two main moves. 1. Lower the threshold a bit so you get more ducking. 2. Speed up the attack slightly so the compressor grabs the sub earlier. In fast DNB, slow attack is a common mistake. If your attack is like 10 or 20 milliseconds, the kick transient and the sub overlap right when the kick needs space. The punch disappears. What you want is the kick to pop through, but you don't want the bass line to feel like it vanishes. Clarity without emptiness. Listen mode 2, the roll continuity test. This is the big one. Release timing. Keep looping, and keep your eyes off the numbers as much as you can. Start with release at about 100 milliseconds. Now sweep it down slowly toward 60 milliseconds. Then sweep it up toward 140 milliseconds. Here's what you're listening for. If release is too short, like 30 to 60 milliseconds, the sub snaps back too fast. you might hear a weird double thump, like the kick hits, then the sub smacks back immediately after. Sometimes it feels clicky, aggressive, or even like low-end distortion. If release is too long, like 150 to 250 milliseconds, the bass feels like it sinks after every kick. The groove turns into that obvious EDM pumping thing, and in DNB that usually kills the roll. The energy feels like it drops out and comes back late. The sweet spot for a lot of roller-style drum and bass is roughly 80 to 130 milliseconds. But you're not picking a number, you're picking the moment where the bass returns just in time to keep the line driving forward. Here's a helpful musical target that still keeps you listening by ear, at 174 BPM, a 16th note is about 86 milliseconds. That's why releases in that zone often feel right. You're basically aiming for the sub to recover around a grid point that matches the groove. Tight and driving might recover around a 16th. Smoother might drift longer, somewhere between a 16th and an 8th. But again, your ear is designed. Listen mode 3, the ghost note and swing check. DNB isn't just kick on one forever. You'll have little variations. At a quieter ghost kick, maybe around the 1.3 area, or any common DNB variation. Now listen. Does the sub duck consistently in a musical way, or does it react weirdly? If the compressor is overreacting to quiet hits, you can adjust in a few ways. You can raise the threshold so only the main kick triggers hard. Or increase the ratio slightly, like going from 4:1 to 6:1, but be careful. Higher ratio can feel more hard duck and less natural. And a big one. Sidechain from a clean trigger, not from a messy kick boss. Let's talk about that for a second, because it's a common hidden problem. If your kick track is layered, saturated, has a long tail, or has reverb, the compressor detector might get confused. It can duck late, or it can duck too long, because it's still hearing energy after the transient. Two fixes. First, make the kick itself easier to sidechain against. If it's boomy and long, shorten the tail with an envelope or fade. If it's inconsistent hit-hit, a tiny bit of clipping or saturation can make it more even. Second, and this is a pro move that's still beginner-friendly, create a dedicated SC trigger track. Make a new track with a short clicky kick or rim, something super tight. Program it to hit exactly when you want ducking. Mute it, or set it so it doesn't go to the master, and use that as the sidechain input. Now your ducking is consistent, even if your reel kick is huge and complex. Quick extra tip inside Ableton Compressor. Use the sidechain EQ. In the sidechain section, you can filter what the compressor listens to. Often, putting a high pass around 30 to 50 HE helps ignore sub-rumble, and then focusing the detector more around 80 to 150 HC helps it respond to the kick's thump instead of click or noise. This can make your ducking feel way more stable. Now let's make this practical in arrangement. The timing you choose should usually stay consistent through the track, because that's part of the bounce. But the intensity can change. In the drop, you often want a bit more gain reduction, like 4 to 7 dB, and maybe at a slightly shorter release like 80 to 110 milliseconds, so it feels aggressive and controlled. In intros and breakdowns, you might reduce gain reduction to 2 to 4 dB and let it be smoother. But here's the workflow tip. Automate threshold, not release. Release changes the groove. Threshold changes the amount. So if you keep release consistent and automate threshold, you keep the bounce consistent while changing impact section by section. Now add a safety net for low-end cleanup, because sidechain isn't the whole story. After the compressor on the sub-track, add a utility. If you have bass mono, turn it on. Or set width to 0% for the sub if it should be dead center. Wide sub is unstable, and it makes sidechain timing harder to judge. Then add EQ8. High pass below about 20 to 30 HC with a gentle slope to remove rumble you don't need. And if the kick fundamental fights the sub, do tiny dips, like 1 or 2 dB max. Subtle. Sidechain timing does most of the heavy lifting. Two quick monitoring checks that reveal timing fast. First, the very low volume check. Turn your monitors way down. If the kick disappears at low volume, your kick and sub are still overlapping too much, or your sidechain isn't grabbing fast enough. Second, the mono check. Put utility on the master and collapse to mono. If the low end suddenly gets cloudy or hollow, you might have phase issues between kick and sub. Sidechain is not a replacement for phase coherence. You can try tiny timing nudges using track delay or flip polarity on the sub with utility and listen for the most stable punch. Now a mini practice exercise to train your ear. Loop one bar of kick plus your sine sub pattern. Set ratio to 4:1. Set attack to 1 millisecond. Set threshold so you get about 5 dB of gain reduction. Now do three passes. First, Set release to 60 milliseconds. Listen for two snappy, double thump, clicky aggression. Second, release at 120 milliseconds. Listen for smooth roll and continuity. Third, release at 200 milliseconds. Listen for obvious pumping and the bass line disappearing after the kick. Pick the one you like best, then fine-tune in 10 millisecond steps around it. That's ear training. And if you want to level up fast, bounce three versions named SC60, SC120, and SC200, then compare the next day with fresh ears. Optional but powerful. Calibrate your ears with a reference track. Drop a clean DNB tune you like into your project, and level match it by turning the reference down. Don't turn your mix up. Flip between them and focus on only two things. Can you clearly hear the kick? And how quickly does the sub feel like it reconnects after the kick? All right, quick recap to lock it in. In drum and bass, sidechain timing is about two goals at the same time, kick clarity and rolling continuity. Use Ableton Compressor sidechain on the sub as your baseline. Keep attack fast, around 0.3 to 3 milliseconds. Tune release by ear, often landing around 80 to 130 milliseconds for a rolling vibe, but always let groove to side. Sidechain from a clean trigger if your kick bus is messy, and automate threshold for section intensity, so you don't ruin the bounce. If you tell me what sub style you're making, like liquid roller, jump up, neuro, jungle, and what your kick pattern looks like, I can suggest a tight starting release range and whether you should use a trigger track right away.